الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استنى بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لعن الذين كفروا من بني إسرائيل على لسان داود وعيسى بن مريم ذلك بما عصوا وكانوا يعتدون كانوا لا يتناهون عن منكر فعلوه لبئس ما كانوا يفعلون صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to see many, many more days of Jumu'ah. I'm also pleased to see our Haji Simji Sahab. Allah ta'ala give him very long life, 94 years of age. He had an accident, fell down, was in hospital for a long period of time, but still coming to the masjid. May Allah ta'ala also give us, inspire us, that up till the last day of our lives, we make it a point of going to the masjid for salah. So we make dua to Allah ta'ala that He allows us to appreciate this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. We also make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows our last day of our earthly life to be this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. My topic for today is this injunction of deen that we don't often speak about. We speak about salah as one injunction of deen. We speak about zakat as an injunction of deen. When it's the time of hajj, we speak about hajj. But there is one injunction of deen, and it's known as al-amru bil-ma'roof wa-nahyu anil munkar, what we loosely know as amr bil-ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. This injunction of deen, enjoining good and forbidding evil, is a very, very important part of our deen. This is a security mechanism that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in our deen for the protection of deen at an individual level and at a collective level. Like how when a person receives a box that has been delivered to him with something valuable inside, a seal is put there. That do not open if seal is broken. They do not open because there seems to be some tampering that may have taken place. So this seal that is put there is a protective mechanism against tampering. And those of us who may have remembered the old days when we would write out a check, then the person, those checks were issued without any alteration. Why no alteration? To protect from any type of tampering on the check. So if I wrote, for example, 1,000 rand, I put 1 and 3 zeros. Together with that, I would need to write O-N-E, 1, T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D, 1,000 rands only. If you just think about it, just writing 1 and 000, that's sufficient. But another protective mechanism that was put in there was for the sake of any type of tampering with the check. So that was put there. Just an example. Like that, if you think about it, there's so many different protective mechanisms out there. Person got usernames, there's passwords, there's numeric keys. There are certain ways that information is sent that is hidden and blocked out, etc. So all these are mechanisms that are put in place to protect from any type of tampering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His wisdom, Allah ta'ala is knowledge of everything. Allah ta'ala in our deen, one of the protective, effective protective mechanisms, every mechanism that Allah ta'ala has put is effective, but one of the powerful mechanisms that Allah ta'ala has put in our deen is this, an-nahyu anil munkar, that forbidding from evil. From time to time, there will be people that Allah ta'ala will create that will speak out against the wrongs in society. That this wrong is taking place in society, we need to correct it. That wrong is taking place in society, we need to correct it. So what we learn from here is that those people that are doing, fulfilling this injunction of deen, which actually is a responsibility upon every one of us, this is something that we have to thank them for and not become upset. You see a security company that is patrolling, and some Muslims are offering their services of patrolling at night. They are keeping everyone's physical property safe. How grateful we are to them that they are protecting our assets, they are protecting our properties, etc. So similarly, you will find that for the protection of deen, which is much, much more important than our physical properties, how much more grateful we should be to those people that are fulfilling this injunction, although we are not fulfilling, although we should be doing it, But they are fulfilling it. We should thank Allah Ta'ala that He has created in our community such people that will speak out against the vices of deen, that are taking the vices against deen. And we should thank Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that He has put people that are volunteering themselves to be in the front line, so to speak, to take the bullets that are coming in the time of fitna, in the time of fasad, and they're speaking out against those things that are not permissible in Islam. Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullah alayhi, and you'll find generally the muhaddithin, when they would speak about Kitabul Fitan, the book on the fitnas to come, then under this chapter they would bring this particular bab, this chapter of Al-Amru bil Ma'ruf wa Nahju anil Munkar. So Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullah alayhi, in explaining how severe the consequences are for disregarding this injunction of deen, so he brings a chapter, Babu Ma Ja'a fi Nuzul al-Adhabi Idha Lam Yughayyir al-Munkar. The chapter on the descending of the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if evil is not changed in a society. This evil that is taking place, that's prevalent, nobody is frowning, nobody is speaking out, nobody is making an effort to change that evil that is taking place in the society, Allah Ta'ala's azab descends to such an extent at an umumi level, at a mass level, open general level, not only affecting those that are doing wrong, but affecting the whole society. That's how dangerous. When a person doesn't read salah, that no, he's not reading salah, or him doing wrong, that affects him. But when this injunction of deen is left out, it affects the whole society at large. It's a longish hadith. I'll quote the last part of the hadith. Hadith of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu that Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullah alayhi brings that inni sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul inna an-nasa idha ra'u adh-dhalim falam ya'khudhu 'ala yadayhi aw shaka ay ya'ummuhum Allah bi'iqabin minhu. That he says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that if people they see a person doing wrong, a person causing oppression, he's disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's causing evil and oppression. If people see him, in other words, it's apparent to them, but they don't change it, they don't catch him or hold him or correct him, try to correct him. Oh shaka ayya ummahumullahu bi'iqabim minhu. Very soon Allah ta'ala will bring about an azab that will overtake everyone. One person was doing wrong, but the people didn't correct the wrong that one person was doing. The azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will overtake everyone. And when it comes to wrong, it is not that we have to be present there. The fact that we know about wrong taking place and we are happy about it, that in itself is problematic. Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah ali has brought this hadith also in his Kitabul Fitan. إذا عملت الخطية في الأرض كان من شهدها فكرهها كمن غاب عنها فمن غاب عنها فرضيها كمن شهدها. When wrong is taking place, evil is taking place, that person that is present, but he dislikes what he's seeing, he's not happy. I can see evil taking place, I can see sin taking place, I'm not happy about it. In other words, he's not happy, he's trying to make an effort in his capacity, what he can do, he's trying to change and correct what is happening. Then the hadith says, is kaman ghaba anha, it's as though this person is not part of that evil. He's away from that evil. But on the other hand, فَمَنْ غَابَ عَنْهَا فَرَضِيَهَا كَمَنْ شَهِدَهَا. That person who is away from this. In other words, we may be here and the sin may be taking place in England. Say for example, there's one football match and there's all types, men, ladies, drinking, sponsors, alcohol companies, etc. And there's so much of sin taking place, but we're sitting here in front of the box looking at that match and we're enjoying it. We are happy with what is happening there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that it's as though kaman shahida, it's as though this person is part of the action, it's as though he's in that stadium with all the haram taking place. So what the least we can do is we must feel bad about the wrong taking place, and to the extent that we can correct it, we must correct it. That is part of our deen. Hazrat Shah Waliullah rahmatullah alayhi, he's mentioned that Allah Ta'ala has made things haram that are harmful for us. Either it's harmful to our physical bodies, it's harmful to us physically, or it's harmful to us spiritually. Allah Ta'ala has made these things haram for us. In fact, inna a'zama sababil hirmani al-ma'siyah, the biggest cause of a person being deprived of the mercy of Allah, of the barakat from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is what? Is guna and sin. Sin is the biggest cause for us to become deprived. So therefore, sin is not something to be taken lightly. So anyway, coming back to this aspect, this injunction of an-nahyu anil munkar, forbidding evil. Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayhi, he brings this hadith, he starts this particular chapter on this, with this hadith, and he explains that what was the weakness that had set in the Bani Israel. Normally you would find that if an aircraft is going in a certain direction, and suddenly that aircraft starts declining and descending and it crashes, so those people that are doing the investigation, they'll look to see at which point did that descent start, did that vertical free fall start from, at which point did this aircraft start falling, what happened at that point. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith is telling us that the Bani Israel, which was the starting point of their decline. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions this hadith that inna awwala ma dakhala an-naqsu ala Bani Israel kana ar-rajulu yalqa ar-rajul, that the first part, the beginning of the weakness that had set in the Bani Israel, is that one person, kana ar-rajulu yalqa ar-rajul fayaqulu ya hadha ittaqillaha وَدَعْ مَا تَصْنَعْ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَحِلُّ لَكْ. One person, he'll see another person doing wrong. This is day one. I'll see a person doing wrong, and I'll tell this person, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ فِي اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, leave out what you are doing, because this is not halal. What you're doing is not right. So day one, he told him that this is what you're doing is not right. The hadith goes on to say, ثُمَّ يَلْقَاهُ مِنَ الْغَدْ فَلَا يَمْنَعْهُ ذَلِكَ أَن يَكُونَ أَكِيلَهُ وَشَرِيبَهُ وَقَعِيدَهُ فَلَمَّا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَ بَعْضِهِمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. The next day he would meet the person, and then he would sit with him and he'll eat with him. He'll drink with him. He'll be part of him. He'll be part of his company as though nothing happened. There will be no expression of disapproval, no expression of unhappiness that you are involved in the sin, this guna. We are all like one. There's no problem. Everything is okay. And look at it today in the community that we are living in. When guna is taking place, and those people that are involved in guna, and those of us that have the ability of making some effort and stopping it, sometimes it's as though we just ignore it. Nothing happened. What's the big deal? We're invited to a wedding, and there's complete mix, ladies and men, and all types of evil activities that are taking place. But it's as though that nothing is happening. Let us be part and parcel of it. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. What will happen? What is the ill effects? The first benefit of stopping is Allah Ta'ala will create that hatred of sin in the heart. Person who's making an effort to stop guna that he's seeing, within his capacity, he'll have that hatred in his heart. But if he doesn't do, he just ignores the sin that is taking place. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَ بَعْضِهِمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Allah Ta'ala will make the hearts the same. In other words, that person doesn't have the hatred for sin. By you just keeping quiet, by you doing nothing about the sin that is taking place, your heart will become like the heart of the sinner. You will also have no hatred for sin, and you will eventually start doing that same guna that those people are involved in. Why? What was the starting point? You saw sin taking place, but there was no disapproval. You continued with life like normal, like as though everything is normal. There's no problem. So this is the evil and the ill effects of being a participant in sin, or not speaking out also in the sin that is what is the sin that is taking place. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was stabbed and he was on his deathbed about to pass away, and we know Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was such a firm sahabi. Allah Ta'ala made it such that he was the greatness of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and sahaba in general also, they would act upon the injunctions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, in Bukhari Sharif, he explains this, or brings this hadith, that one young boy came when Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was about to pass away, and he said, Abshir ya Amir al-Mu'mineen bi bushra Allahi lak min suhbati Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wa qidamin fil Islam, that glad tidings be to you, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, with the glad tidings of Allah Ta'ala. Not any ordinary glad tidings, with the glad tidings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made you the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Is that a small thing? And then you served Islam for a very, very long time. Or you were early there in the days of Islam. And then he goes on to say that ثُمَّ وُلِّيْتَ فَعَدَلْتَ. You were made the Amirul Mu'mineen. You were given the Khilafat, and you were just in your Khilafat. You didn't abuse that position that you were given. You were just. And then he goes on to say ثُمَّ شَهَادَةٌ. And now you got Shahadat. It's like a cherry on the top. Accolade upon accolade upon accolade. Look at the response of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Somebody is praising him with such high praises. He says, وَدِدْتُ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ كَفَافٌ لَا عَلَيَّ وَلَا لِي. I just wish that on the day of Qiyamah I can break even. Whatever you say, that doesn't matter. If it helps me just to break even, in other words, I don't have anything against me, I don't have anything in my favor, I can just make it across the line, that will make me happy. Now this is what you call a person who has Allah Ta'ala in front of him. So anyway, the hadith goes on to say, فَلَمَّا أَدْبَرَ إِذَا إِذَارَهُ يَمَسُّ الْأَرْضِ, that this person, this young boy that came and praised him, when he was going away, his pants was touching the ground, his pants was below his ankles. Now here is a person that is about to pass away, he is on his deathbed, he is not in a healthy condition, but he saw wrong taking place. He saw wrong taking place, this young boy's pants was below his ankle, it was touching the ground. He tells the people around him, Ruddu alayya al-ghulam, send that boy back to me. Send him back to me, I saw something wrong taking place. So they sent him back. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu tells him, Yabna akhi, irfa' thawbak, fa'innahu anqa li thawbik wa atqa li rabbik. O young boy, O my nephew, O young man, lift up your trousers. He did not ignore this injunction of deen. When you see wrong taking place, correct it. In whichever way a person can correct it, in the most appropriate way he should correct it. But it should never ever be that we are happy with sin taking place. And the worst case scenario is where a person starts justifying gunas. He starts justifying wrongs. There isn't any place for any justification in deen. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu corrected him at that time, even though he was passing away, but he corrected this young boy. And he tells this young boy that by you lifting up your pants, this is more cleaner, purer for that fabric of yours, that pants of yours, and also it is more closer, taking you closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting you a higher level of taqwa, bringing you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing the right thing. Hazrat Mawlana Umar Sahib Palanpuri rahmatullah alayhi, he would say, karte karte marte te, or marte marte karte te. These were such people that they would continue doing until they died. That he would continue stopping evil, even when he was dying also he was stopping evil. Or marte marte karte te, and even whilst they dying also, they did not leave out what they needed to do. Allah Ta'ala give us that condition. In our health, we are unable to speak out, we are unable to do these things. These were people in their dying also, what was right, they spoke out against what they needed to speak out. There's one hadith that comes in Abu Dawud Sharif, that there was a Bedouin that had come and read Salah in the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he came, he tied his camel, and he came and he joined the Salah. And after Salah, he went back, untied his camel, he got on to ride away, and he called out, he made one dua. So this Bedouin made one dua as he's leaving. And what dua did he make? He said, Allahumma arhamni wa muhammada. He called out, he exclaimed loudly this dua. Allahumma arhamni wa muhammada, wa la tushrik fi rahmatina ahada. O Allah, grant me and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam rahmat. And O Allah, don't make anybody else join in that rahmat. It must be exclusive. In other words, only me and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam must get your rahmat. This Bedouin, in his simplistic thinking, he thought that the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was limited, was restricted, like how you'll get a slab of chocolate. If I'm sharing it with one person, then I'll have many more pieces. But if I have to share it with 20 people, how many pieces I'll get? I'll get less. So in his simple thinking, he said, Wala tushrik fi rahmatina ahada. Wala, don't include anybody else because I want all the rahmat, I don't want anybody else to get. So in his simplistic thinking, he thought that the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala was constrained, was limited. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he heard this, immediately, this was something that was wrong. It affected the aqidah of people. Although he was making a dua, this Bedouin was making a dua, but the words, the content of his dua was wrong. So therefore, sometimes you'll find that when a person is making a speech also, the content of the speech is wrong. Or sometimes people will send out messages, the content of that message is wrong. Those that are in the know should be correcting it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told the Sahaba immediately, whilst when the Bedouin just made this statement, this dua, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَتَقُولُونَ هُوَ أَضَلْ أَمْ بَعِيرَهُ. Is he more astray or is his camel more astray? Now if we were there, what we would have said? We would have said this is ghibat, Allah Ta'ala forgive us, na'udhu billah. Or we would say there's no tolerance. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard a statement that was incorrect. Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is not restricted, is not limited. Immediately he corrected it. Something wrong was said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam corrected it immediately. What he told Sahaba, is he more astray or is his camel more astray? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Alam tasma'u ila ma qala. Did you not hear what this person had said? Qalu bala, Sahaba said, yes, we heard.
what this person had said. So the point that I'm making is when evil is taking place, wrong is taking place, at that time we should be correcting it. And one of the greatest attacks against this injunction of deen in this time of fitna and fasad is this call for tolerance. This call for tolerance is completely misguided when it's coming against this injunction of deen. It's like a person goes outside now after Jummah to his car, he sees one thief taking, he's stealing his headlights, and he tells the thief, "Mashallah, shabash, you're stealing my headlights, Jummah Mubarak to you, come next week, you can take the other one also." Complete, there's no tolerance. At that time a person will get very upset with the thief and he'll take off. And if he can help it, he'll even hit the thief for what he's doing. There's no call for tolerance at that time when his own property is taken. But when the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is getting affected, then at that time we want to call for tolerance. There was one person, one scholar that was in a hall, and in the hall where that wedding is taking place, and nowadays we know that ladies, how they are dressing. In the old days, if a person, a young man was doing gymming, then he would like to wear short sleeves, tight tops, and he would like to show everyone his physique. But now it's becoming a new culture in the weddings for ladies to start wearing sleeveless and short sleeves. It's as though each auntie wants to show the next auntie how much I'm benching. See my muscles, see my biceps. And when there's men also in the hall, then it's not only the biceps, it's the triceps and all that start showing. So anyway, there was a wedding that had taken place like this, where there was complete mix. So those people that had little bit of conscience, firstly, we shouldn't even be in a situation like that. But those that have little bit of conscience, they walked out from there. When the scholar came up to give a talk in that scenario completely mixed, his talk was on tolerance. How we must be able to tolerate each other. Is that the time? Firstly, should a scholar be there in that gathering where there's complete mix, so much of evil is taking place, and now speak about tolerance? So tolerance is completely misguided. People use this tolerance. So when we hear tolerance in the face, in fact I mentioned that muhaddithin, they would speak about al-amru bil-ma'roof wa nahyu anil munkar in the time of fitna. There wasn't any talk of tolerance in the time of fitna. Why? Because this is attack on deen. So therefore we have to be very careful. Another thing that's very common, I'll finish off in the next 3 minutes inshallah, is this pedal. Many people are complaining that there's mixed doubles taking place. And many boys and girls are playing together, and there are other people that are viewing this thing taking place. Such a fitna, such a fasad. Firstly, we must understand where this started from. When that culture came to send our daughters to high school, send our daughters to university, send our daughters to become professionals, now when they're going on the sports field and they're playing with boys, then we have ourselves to blame. When we're hearing of them going on the promenade and getting drunk on New Year's night, we got ourselves to blame. Where did we start this culture of girls going out of the home? Whereas the place of a woman is in the home. Allah Ta'ala has made a place in the home. Now she's here on the pedal court and she's playing with the boys. She thinks she's giving a backhand and they're all looking at the backside. Is that the right thing to do? So Allah Ta'ala protect us, Allah Ta'ala save us. There's so much of fitna that is taking place. Another thing that is happening is that people are taking photographs with ladies, ghair mahrams, and sometimes it's scholars, YouTube scholars, etc., taking photos with females, and they're justifying it by saying, we're just capturing the moment. Did we ever see any of our pious predecessors, any ulama standing with ladies in the first place, then taking photographs with them and allowing this to come on Facebook, YouTube? Be very, very careful. These are the forms of destroying deen. Therefore, ulama have mentioned that in the time of fitna and fasad, we should increase more this. This is why this bab, this chapter is brought of al-amru bil-ma'roof wa nahyu anil munkar. This is what we need to be increasing in the time of fitna and fasad. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullah alayhi, would give the example. He says, you see that seatbelt noise in the car. If you don't wear your seatbelt, you'll see that car that he makes choo, 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 choo. Every time he does that, he doesn't stop. That I already told you this morning, I'm not going to tell you again. He tells him again. The next time he goes in his car, he will tell him again. And this person doesn't get upset. And sometimes that seatbelt noise in the cars are so loud that it's like a person in the ICU in Sakarat, and that machine is going peep, peep, peep. But this person, you never saw anybody waking up and giving that car one hard shot. That keep quiet. Why you keep telling me the same thing? He says, this is our duty, our job. We keep making noise, 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 until that person puts the seatbelt on, until people starts listening. Otherwise, there's one of two options. قَالُوا مَعَذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. On the day of Qiyamah, we'll have some excuse to Allah. We saw wrong taking place. We spoke out against the wrong. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the other option is, the other thing that will happen is that these people would have changed. One of two things, at least there's some excuse that we got to present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, in conclusion, I wish to say that when people are speaking out, Allah has given us ulama in our community that are speaking out against the wrongs that are taking place. Don't become upset with them. We should make shukr to Allah, that, Allah, you put such people in our community that will make the hifazat of the deen of our community. They are protecting our community like how other people are protecting our assets. For example, I gave the example of security companies and people that are patrolling. How they protecting our physical assets, oh Allah, you've given people in our community to protect our deen. Allah, we are grateful to you that they are telling us what is right, they're telling us what is wrong. We shouldn't get upset with them, we should thank them and make dua for them. May Allah give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.